your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6, please. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for this morning. And Lord, I'm so grateful that you love us enough to tell us the truth. And in your truth, you're very honest and you're very practical. That all your commands are certainly good for living. You've given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And some of these things that we're going to learn today is pertain to our life and godliness and guarding our hearts and living on guard. And I pray, Lord, you would open up our hearts by the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Open our hearts to you. And Lord, give us the strength and the wisdom to obey the things that we learn from you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, well, as I prayed, God is very practical in his instructions. And Proverbs chapter 6, we're going to see three things out of his words. It's very practical that you can walk out of here and say, man, I could use this. I can apply this for my life. Because God cares about every little detail of your life. Every detail. He cares about it because he wants you to live life to the fullest, to the utmost. And so he wants us to live on guard in our daily pursuits. And in this morning's study, we will address guarding our words, guarding our watches, and finally guarding our ways, which reminds me of a story of this man by the name of Marco. And he was a 2005 Darwin Award winner. Now, I don't know if you guys heard of Darwin Awards, but these awards are given to people who do very stupid things. Very uncommon sense-like things. Pardon me? Who's in a bad mood? What'd I say? Oh, even my daughters. I get in trouble at home for that too. But as you hear the story, you're going to say, that's not very smart. Okay? I apologize, Ian, if I offended. One fateful afternoon, 55-year-old Marco retreated to a semi-detached workshop to make himself a tool for chimney cleaning. The chimney was too high for a simple broom to work. But if he could attach a brush to a train and then weigh it down with something that would do the trick, but what could he use as a weight? He happened to have the perfect object. It was heavy, yet compact. Best of all, it was made of metal, so he could weld it to the chain. He must have somehow overlooked the fact that it was also a hand grenade. It was filled with explosive material. Marco turned on his welding apparatus and began to create an arc between the chain and the grenade. As the metal heated up, the grenade exploded. The force of the explosion killed poor Marco instantly, blasting shrapnel through the walls of the shed and shattering the windshield of the Mercedes parked outside. Marco's chimney, however, was untouched. And so, God is very practical, and he gives us very common sense commands to guard our lives by. And we're going to look at those things. So let's look at guarding our words. You know, one of the biggest problems with us human beings is the smallest member of our body, that tongue. Well, it's small. And it gets us into a lot of trouble. Have you guys ever said anything you wish you didn't say?
Oh, yeah.
We've all done it. We, you know, we say words to our brother or sister and said, oop, I shouldn't have said that. Or to your parents, oop, I shouldn't have said that. There's things I've said to my wife. I said, I shouldn't have said that. Sometimes to my kids. You know, this tongue gets us into trouble. And so James reminds us that this tongue is untamable without Jesus Christ. He says it's like a fire. It starts forest fires. But so Solomon learned that we must be careful with also with the kind of promises that we make in this. And so let's look at verse 1. My son, or dear lady, my daughter, if you become surety or a promise, collateral for your friend, if you've shaken hands in a pledge for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You're taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my child, and deliver yourself. For if you have come into the hand of your friend, go and humble yourself. Plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of a hunter and a bird from the hand of the fowler. First of all, it says we should be careful in the promises that we make. Have you ever made a promise and realized you're going to probably be unable to keep it? And you know, God wants us to be people of our word. If we make a promise, we ought to keep it. But God also wants us not to be people who just, okay, I'll do it, blah, 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 and without thinking. He wants us to think before we speak. Because in life, there's always consequences. And those consequences could be good or they could be bad or somewhere in between. But we need to think before we speak. God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. What do you think we ought to do more? Yeah, we ought to listen. We need to learn to listen more. A lot of times, like me, you know, you like to talk. And a lot of times, when somebody's speaking, you're missing what they're saying because you're too busy thinking about what you're going to say. So learn to measure your words carefully. Measure your promises. And he said, if you make a promise and you're unable to keep it, you need to go humble yourself. Humble yourself meaning, yeah, to go to your friend or that person and say, you know what? I can't keep that promise. I'm sorry. And they may get upset with you, but, you know, you got to go humble yourself. I am so sorry. And in this case, this person is banking his household on somebody's ability to pay. To a perfect stranger. And, you know, and there's times I have personally have done this. And although this person is a good friend of mine, he let me down because I co-signed for him and he defaulted on the loan. Now, how wrong is that? That's way wrong. He made it right, and that's good. But God says, don't do that. Be very cautious in how you bank on somebody's ability to pay. But however, the balance of it in Matthew, Jesus sets the story straight. If your friend is in need of money, he says, give it to him. If your neighbor's and a friend in need, give it to him without any expectations to get paid back. That's the godly way of doing it. And when you do it with that heart, you don't set up that other person in a position where he may fail. You just give it away. And so he warns us. So in this, we need to guard our words. Guard by the things that we say. Sometimes we try to be funny and we're a culture who likes to laugh. And sometimes humor is on the expense of somebody else. And you can hurt their feelings. And so we must guard our words, our humor, the things that we say, the promises that we make. And so, as you can see, our mouths and our promises can get us into trouble. And the best thing we can do is seek God's counsel in our decision making. So that's an important thing in life, is if you're not sure what to do in your decisions, seek God's counsel, His word. That's why it's important that you read all of His words. And after you finish reading all of His words, you start over and read it over and over. Go to Bible study. Get clarity on His words. Because in your decision making, you can make a good decision. You can make a thoughtful decision. And that's important. And if you're still unclear, you can seek the counsel of godly people. And see what their opinion is, and weigh what they have to say with what you know with the Word of God, and up against somebody else, and maybe with all this talking to people who have your best interest in mind, you can come up with a thoughtful conclusion and maybe God's heart in the matter. And so it's important to understand this. So also, this is also important. Do not allow anybody to force you to make a quick decision. You're hanging out with your friends. Come on, dude. Let's do this. And you know it's not right, and they're trying to force you in to do it. Back off. Say, I got to go. Or, you know, when you get to be older, and that salesman is trying to sell you something and they're kind of pressuring you, walk away. You don't need it that day. Don't be entrapped by the lust of things that you want. There's many times my wife and I will go to a store and we've been shopping for something and we'll see it. And then there's many times we just walk out. Let's pray about it. Let's wait a while. Let's walk away. Let's count the cost. You know, I remember one time we were about to buy this van and we were thinking about it. And you know, and I've been looking at vans and I'm wanting a van. But, you know, right now it's not in our budget. We can't afford it. And so I said, you know, honey, we could pay the monthly payments, but in our monthly expenses, we won't have much expendable cash to do fun things. And, you know, and I don't want to live that way. I don't want to live to pay off a vehicle. Man, I want cash to spend, you know, with the kids and all. Yes, sir. Yeah, wise man. Wise man. And so that teaches you self-control. And when you learn self-control in little areas, you'll learn to have self-control in big areas where it really counts. And so don't let anybody force you to a quick decision or try to force you by guilt or manipulation. If they do, just back off. Because there's a lot of manipulators trying to twist your arm, make you feel guilty. And a lot of it happens under the umbrella of the church. If you can't do it willingly and thoughtfully and wisely, don't do it. So guard your words. And let's go into guarding our watches. Guard your watch. Guard your time. And in this next few passages, God gives us a very colorful word picture. You know, maybe it's a culinary delight for some of you. Maybe Chris has made some. He gives us an illustration from the ant. And it's from the ant. We're exhorted not to be lazy with our watches or time, but to use our time wisely. Let's look at verse 6. Okay, Ian, I might offend you again, but this is God speaking, okay? Go to the ant, you sluggard. I love that. I love the way he says that. You sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come upon you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Well, check out the ant. Ants are marvels of creation. Have you ever watched ants? I mean, they're always busy working. And, you know, and they don't have an aunt who's a foreman saying, hey, move that rock over there, you know, pick up this food over here, get this potato chip. They just do this instinctively because it's born in them to provide for the winter. The whole goal is winter, to provide food for the winter. And, you know, here I said God is very practical. God doesn't want us to be lazy. And, you know, and a lot of us are lazy in many ways. There's times I get lazy. And, you know, and I got to shake it off and get busy. Like, for example, homework. Oh, I knew it. I know, that's a curse word. It's not just a bad word. It's a curse word. But you know what? It's important that you practice your schoolwork. Homework is nothing but for practice. Practicing what you learned. It's like if you're a good basketball player, you practice your free throws. At baseball, you practice throwing and catching and hitting and getting grounders, catching fly balls. Batting practice. Repetition builds it in. Same thing with homework. You do your algebra problems over and over and over again so you know it like the back of your hand. So you become good at it. And you think, why? What's algebra going to do me? You know, the old story, every student says, what is this class going to do me? It's going to do you a lot of good. One day you might win a Trivial Pursuit game because you read your books. And everybody's going to think you're smart. You know, I mean, algebra is good because it teaches you how to think logically, sequentially. You know, you think it's math, but it teaches you, it folds over in other areas of life of thinking logically and doing things in order. What's that? Confusing? Yes, it teaches you to think, to be a problem solver. Well, that's, you don't? Oh, good. That's okay. Because then you know if you're doing it right or wrong. I like to know that I'm doing it right. You don't want to practice something that's a bad habit. You want to practice something that's a good habit. So when you do your homework and you look at the back of the book and you say, oh, I got the answer right. I did it right. You know you're going the right way. Oh, no. My teachers always gave us odd number problems so we could see that we're doing it right. Oh, she gives you even? If I was your teacher, I'd give you odd. And you have to show your work. Yep. Yep. Well, let's move on, but it's important that, well, first of all, work is a gift from God. And you go, what? Work is a gift from God? Absolutely, it's a gift from God. Yeah, I mean, the first job was given by Adam, and what was his job? He was a zoologist. Yeah. You know, work is ordained by God. Work is good. Because you know why it's good? Because in our work, we have the opportunity to be creative and we have the opportunity to produce something and bless somebody other than yourself. See, we were created in the image of God, and God is creative. God is always working. You know, the God of Israel neither slumbers nor he sleeps. He's always working. And work is good. I love to work. I love, you know, I'm fortunate, I'm blessed in a job that I do. I enjoy what I do. But I look at my job more than just, oh, I got to go, you know, 9 to 5 or, you know, whatever your hours and, you know, get my paycheck. And it's more than that. I get to interact with people. And my interaction, I become an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I can bring the gospel through my life to their lives. Work is important. You know, you got to see beyond the box. See, God created you for his glory, for his pleasure. Now, feel his pleasure in your work. You know, some of you guys are, you know, I believe that God created every one of you with a beautiful mind. That's why it's important to get a good education, to get the best education that you can. Because he created you with a beautiful mind to learn and understand things. Whether it be algebra to zoology, all that stuff in between, history is important. Because God can use that in your life to reach out to somebody else. Because, hey, I like American history. Oh, you like? I like American history. And you begin this conversation with somebody, this relationship based on common interests. And pretty soon you're sharing the gospel with that person. And not only that, it's cool to know stuff. It's an incredible amount to New Mexico history. Because it was interesting, huh? Yeah. You know, New Mexico history, you know, especially for a lot of the Hispanics who came with the conquistadores, there's lots of history since the 1500s. Who came with Coronado. That's a lot. That's cool. But anyway, it's important. God gave you a beautiful mind. Learn to use it. You know, English, bummer. Good for you, because God can use writing, ability to write for his glory. God can use it. So it's important to learn. And you know, the beautiful thing is, and I'm certain Adam can attest to this, because I certainly can. We got saved when we're older, and God has literally given us this new mind. How many books did you read before you got saved? Out of school, it wouldn't matter. Not very many. Yeah, same thing. I read more books since I've been saved in my entire life, you know, of all school. And the thing is, areas that I was weak in, I became stronger in, because God gave me a new mind and a new heart to use it to his glory. So, you allow God to use your mind. Be the person you want to be, you know, in whatever pursuit in life that you want to be. Start thinking about, God, what do you want me to be? Do you want me to be a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer, a mechanic, an electrician? Whatever field you choose, use it to the praise of glory of God. You know, there are some guys, you know, who are athletes, and they're very sincere in their faith, and they glorify God through their athletic abilities. You know, most of us probably won't have that privilege. But God can use us where we're at. Use the best. Be the best you can be. Yes, sir? Oh, that was a fly? Okay, we move on. So education, as I said, is a gift from God. And, you know, allow God to use your education. Work hard in your schoolwork. It's important, because not only that, if you do well in school, you know, what are the benefits of doing well in school? Going to college. Getting a good job, a scholarship. Living in a nice house. I mean, that's, you know, it's practical. You know, I mean, that's what God is interested, because he says laziness leads to poverty. Don't be lazy. You know, some people aren't lazy and they're not very wealthy. And it doesn't mean that, you know, God is mad at them. It doesn't mean that they're lazy. It's just, that's just the where their lot is in life. And that's okay. But use your education to the most, or your interest, whether it's a trade or academics, use it to the highest. And be diligent. Diligent mean is get things done. You know, don't be a procrastinator at the last moment. Get it done when you can. Be busy. You know, there's a saying, if you want to get something done, give it to the person who has the most things to do. Because usually those are the people who know how to organize their time and get things done. Okay? All right. The third thing God wants us to do is guard our ways. And this is a very interesting, and it has to deal with our character, our ways. Guard the way we are, our attitudes. And it also is to be aware of the attitude of other people. Other people. So let's read verse 12 together. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth or wicked mouth. He winks with his eyes, he shuffles his feet, he points his fingers. Perversity, wickedness, or wickedness is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows, you know, like seed, discord or hatred. Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly, he shall be broken without remedy. Verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. You want to know what God hates? There's six of them. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift into running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. First of all, we talk about the perverse man, a crooked speech. You know, a person who just, they have nothing good to say. It's all yucky, yuck, cussing, or, you know, just not good things. Crooked speech. And notice he winks with his eyes and shuffles with his feet and points with his fingers and signals others to deceive you. You know, like, you know, you see a person, you know, say we're talking about Gilbert and he's kind of like, you know, like, let's make fun of Gilbert, or, you know, hey, let's jump him, or, you know, it just, there's no good in this person. And, you know, unfortunately in our culture, these guys become very popular. I'm very wary of guys who are acting really cool. I'm very wary of it. And I've seen it in the church. I've seen guys who are posers, you know, they're imposters. They come to the church, and, you know, and frankly, they come to this church because there's a lot of good-looking chicks. And they want to scam on the chicks. I'm not kidding you. Be aware of that. You know, there's a lot of people who are, they're out for something, and it's not necessarily godly. Guard your heart against that. Also, let's look at the six things that the Lord hates. A proud look. He calls it a proud look. That's an arrogant person. God hates pride. God hates pride. He hates that people think, oh, I'm better than that person. Oh, yeah, I'm so cool. I'm so much better than you. Don't hang around me. I'm way cool, and you're like not. God hates that. You know, Jesus, the King of Glory, came to heaven to hang out with us. That's humility. So the opposite of that is be humble. Be accepting of people. Be loving of people. Also, the second thing he hates is a lying tongue, dishonesty. A lying tongue, one who spreads lies and rumors about somebody else. Remember, if you hear a rumor, don't let it sink in. As Pastor Skip would say, if you heard a rumor from somebody, you always say to that person, well, can I quote you on that? If they say, no, and then you tell them to quit gossiping. So tell the truth is the opposite of that. Be honest. Hands that shed innocent blood, that's a murderer. Somebody who holds a grudge against somebody. Oh, I'm mad. I want revenge. Ugh. What's the opposite of that? Forgiveness. Be forgiving. A heart devises wicked plan. This is a person who's always contemplating evil. You know, their thoughts are wicked. And we all struggle with that. But the opposite of that is think about ways to bless other people. Instead of thinking of evil and get revenge, how can I bless somebody today? When you wake up, how can I bless my mother today? How can I bless my brother or sister, my father, my grandparents, my friend at school? How can I be a blessing to somebody else? That's the good thing. Feet that are swift to running to evil. You know, instead of quick to do evil, why don't you be quick to do good? You know, it's the old proverbial Boy Scout thing, help the old lady across the street. It's the somebody is at the grocery store and, you know, it's one of those pull open doors and they're having trouble. Why don't you go open that door for that person? Be quick to do good. Somebody needs help. I'll help you. Be quick to do good. Also, a false witness who speaks lies. It's just lying about somebody. Just telling a big fat lie about somebody, you know, and ruining their reputation. God hates that. And finally, what God finds is an abomination. One who sows discord, or you know what harmony is. Everything is going nicely. Discord is disharmony. Everything's out. Causing divisions. Causing fights with people. Have you met anybody like that? God hates that. It's like he wants us to work like a team. He doesn't want us to be Barry Bonds. You know, the whole baseball world revolves around him. It's a team sport. He wants us to work in unity together. So look for good in people. Be a peacemaker. Bring unity to people instead of discord. And so, and from conclusion, we discover God is very practical, wouldn't you say? Yeah, very practical. From your schooling to your work to the people you hang out with and to your character. And so let's guard our speech and promises. Let's guard our time without being lazy. And finally, let's guard our ways. Let's guard our ways from the people we hang out with, and let's guard our character. And by being a peacemaker, let's be quick to do good. Let's live a life of humility. Let's do those six things that the opposite that if God hates those things, let's do the things that God loves. And finally, I want to give you three applications. And these applications is just take this home to think about and to do when you walk out these doors. First, guard your speech and promises. Think about what you're going to say. Think about the consequences. Secondly, guard your time. Be diligent. Do your best in school. Do your best. It doesn't mean you have to be an A student. It means you do your best. That means do your homework. That means listen. Do what the teacher requires. Do your best. Second, guard your ways by doing the things God loves. Do the things that God loves. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for this morning, this beautiful morning. And again, we thank you that you love us enough that you care about our everyday life. Just everything about us. You love us, and we thank you for that. And Lord, help us to apply these things in our hearts. Help us to meditate upon them during the day and the week. And help us to grow in wisdom. Help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of your Son. And Lord, I pray that you would fill our hearts with the blessed hope, the hope of eternity and the hope of the things that you're going to do through our lives. May we feel your pleasure, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.